DW Africa Link.
The unlawful buying, selling, or harvesting of human organs, usually for transplants. That's organ trafficking, and it's on the rise in Africa. Organs such as kidneys, livers, hearts, and lungs are illegally acquired and sold for large sums of money. Transactions typically occur on the black market. That's an illegal marketplace where goods and services are bought and sold outside of government regulations. So how dire is the situation, and how can governments fight it? That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr., and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
For more on this, let's bring in Barrister Frank Tietje, a human rights and development lawyer in Nigeria. Also on board is Ben Chimang, DW correspondent in Nigeria. Thank you very much for making the time for this discussion, guys. Now, let me set the ball rolling with you, Frank. When we talk about organ trafficking, give me an idea of the situation on the ground in Nigeria. How dire is it?
I think the situation is quite bad because it has reached an epidemic level, yet it is receiving much of public silence. One would have expected that the level of public condemnation against it would have been much higher, but that's not the case. The public usually wakes up to a very shocking realization occasionally when any hospital or medical or health service provider is caught involved in such a very disgraceful practice, which is driven mainly by poverty rather than the noble motivation of trying to save a life or trying to help any person's medical condition. We have not received that prosecutorial response on that would serve as an example, the way the United Kingdom used one of our notable senators as an example of how not to get involved in such a nefarious act. So right now in Nigeria, it's quite widespread. What is worrisome is that it's going on silently. People are either selling their organs or certain medical personnel, particularly doctors that are unscrupulous, usually harvest the organs of their patients quite unknown to them. The revelations that have come from the various occasions that have come to the public knowledge have been quite shocking.
It sounds very big from all the way you're describing it. But one thing that I picked up on from all that you said is that it doesn't seem that there is a large enough condemnation of illegal organ trafficking. Why is that the case, you think?
So first, there is a level of shame that is associated with it, and it is going on in very clandestine manner. So it's difficult. One would have expected that the agencies of government would have increased the campaign by letting people know it's against their human rights. But the difficulty is that we don't have express legislations that criminalize such kind of practice. It means that there is a somewhat understanding that people can, with their consent, sell their organs. But the problem is, many people do not know that it is first and foremost illegal. They think that it is a way of survival. It's one step before dying. Rather than die out of poverty, out of hunger, or out of total lack or shame of being unable to meet up with expectations, social expectations, it's better they secretly get involved in that.
Right, right. I mean, let me come to you, Ben, our correspondent in Nigeria, and you've been talking to a lot of people on the ground. Frank mentioned that to a large extent, poverty drives people to want to sell their organs, you know, for some money. But of course, when we talk about this sort of illegal act, it's a bit more than just poverty driving this. What else is driving the organ trafficking in Nigeria, Ben?
Well, usually you have also the very rich people who will want to ensure that they either survive or they either leave, or members of their families will have to leave. Therefore, they feel that they are at the top there, they want to stay alive. And in doing so, sometimes, not really that someone is driven out because of poverty, he offers that. Some will feel, oh, it's going to be like a hero's act for me to say, oh, this is poor me trying to save the family of a member of a senator's family or a minister's family. And so sometimes some people will feel, okay, let me do it. Another way is that some people just feel that they can actually donate. If it's properly done, they will stay alive and the recipient will also stay alive. And therefore, it brings cohesion. But again, like the barrister said, it's not clearly stated in Nigerian laws for now. Even a lawmaker is saying that there has to be a way of either legalizing it or if not, many people just be dying because these things are illegally done. I want to recall that a doctor in one of the hospitals in Jos is in the capital, is the capital of Plateau State. This man takes some people, you go for a different ailment, but he harvests one of the victim's kidney without the person knowing. It's when the person has been discharged from hospital and there are some other ailments, sicknesses, then there's the need to do some scanning and they just see that the person is living with just one kidney. So what really happened? It's then the person will recall that, oh, I was in so-so-so hospital for so-so-so period. And of course, that doctor has been arrested.
Just to be clear, because from what Frank has said and what Ben, you're saying, I'm getting this feeling that the law is not making this illegal act punishable enough. So what does the law say that somehow, you know, creates so many loopholes for people to still go ahead with this organ trafficking, Ben?
In terms of the law, we just have to rely on the National Agency for Trafficking Against Persons in Nigeria. They are the ones prosecuting a case now, as we are talking in Abuja, of a doctor in Alliance Hospital. They are saying that it was illegal for some people to simply woo unsuspecting innocent people driven by poverty and desperation to just take them to hospital and offer to give them 1 million naira, and only 500,000 was given. And that a kind of busted the bubble, and people got to know. So the law here is really not too firm on that.
Right. And this is where I'm going to come to you, Frank, because there's the angle of so many different factors that some can draw some people to want to sell their organs to the highest bidder, right? There's that. But then as Ben sort of rounded up, we also have the case of human trafficking. And experts would say human trafficking and organ trafficking are often linked. What's the connection? And why is this part of organ trafficking not raising enough eyebrows? Because it's clear-cut illegal, isn't it?
Yeah, the illegality stems more from the idea of consent. If not, if you look at the National Health Act in Nigeria, it does permit the transplants or the transfer of organs from one person to the other person for the purpose of survival. So it's akin to legal or illegal or whether it's safe or not. So in Nigeria, the expectation is that for noble reasons, there can be such kind of exchange of organs or donation of organs from one human being to another. Now, the real problem, therefore, is that of demand. And there's a transnational aspect to it, where this solicitation that is often being done by medical personnel that are actually seen, a number of them, and I think it has reached, it can be described as, you know, at the level of cartels, where a number of medical personnel across the various cities are contacted for replacement organs. You know, what's alarming is that there's something abnormal about it. That's the reason why Senator Ekweremadu didn't see anything wrong in paying a doctor to get a Nigerian boy, a 21-year-old boy, to donate his, even though he at that time he claimed to be a teenager, to donate his organ for a fee and then for a new life in the UK. It was perfectly normal to them, you know, okay, because of the widespread nature of the practice.
What fascinates me, though, is we seem to be ignoring the human trafficking aspect of it that leads to organ trafficking, because they are linked in so many ways, aren't there?
I agree with you.
Isn't that happening in Nigeria? So, because we seem to be dwelling a lot on, okay, whether someone gave the consent to donate, you know, to take his or her organ or not. Fine, that's there, right? But then there's also people that are trafficked, and out of that trafficking, their organs are taken away from them, and some end up dead.
Yes, of course. But again, like I said, that brings the international dimension to the whole thing. Before now, we were looking at it as a national problem. Ben had rightly said that the demand side is that of the elitist class, which is prone to having incidences of organ damage and all of that. So the demand is local. But when it comes, when that involves trafficking in persons, it's, you know, to across Nigerian borders, then that's, it becomes international. That problem is there. But again, we must also not forget that there are human beings that are also bred for the purpose of trafficking. And that's the reason why we have seen cases of baby factories that have been discovered across, not necessarily for just selling the babies, but those who buy the babies in the hope that when they are ultimately groomed, their organs can also be harvested. So we've seen many incidences of baby factories across, you know, the regions, especially in the southern part of the country, where persons are actually, women are camped and impregnated. They are, you know, they are groomed. The babies are born, they are groomed, they are sold, and all of that. So, yes, there is the aspect of the close link between trafficking of persons and organ harvesting.
And that just sounds even sicker, that there are baby factories, and yes, that's been reported in Nigeria a couple of times, that are just growing babies for eventual organ harvesting. What is the government doing? Because it seems it's clearly not enough that they are doing to address the matter. What's going on?
You know, I think we have an anomaly when government always waits for, you know, a problem to reach epidemic level and often expects some international collaboration to deal with a local problem. You talk to a normal government official who is supposed to be enforcing these standards or talking about these things, and then he will be referring you to development partners, expecting them to bring support from the European Union or from one donor organization before they would do what they have to do. Sensitization matters a lot. The need to make young people especially understand that life is not about, you know, material things. Because there's another aspect we are forgetting is the psychosocial, you know, motivations of young people. For example, who think that their lives can be, or lifestyles can be defined by either having the latest iPhone or not. So for those, for especially those who cannot get involved in other vices, selling their organs as a, you know, a quick way of trying to meet up or get, you know, keep up with the Joneses. Now, so it goes back to the responsibility of the government to do a lot of sensitization. We are not saying that. We're not, you know, getting those ads or advertisements on radio and television on the need to shun persons who are soliciting purchase of organs, or the need to appropriately report these issues. But if the general public in Nigeria, which has a very low literacy level, is that neglected, one can understand. But what happens when medical personnel, doctors at elitist hospitals, you know, meant only for the rich in Abuja, in Lagos, are the ones who actually hold out themselves to their rich patients and tell them not to worry, that they can arrange a poor the trading boy who comes from eastern Nigeria to west to Lagos to come and trade, to sell his organs, because what they live for is for pittances. So I agree that it's more of a local problem first before the international collaboration. There is also need that that collaboration must also bring about solution. And it can actually come from these when development partners work with Nigerian government. But it's a shame that oftentimes we in Nigeria, particularly in among the civil service, wait only for when one donor organization is now trying to fund one civil society or one NGO before we think of raising the voices against this nefarious practice.
Right. And indeed, it is a nefarious practice that needs to be stopped like yesterday, like now. Because Ben, in your interactions with people, it's really echoing what Frank is saying. There's very little awareness being created about the matter, and much more education is needed. And that's what people are calling for, isn't it?
Yes. I remember that some years back, ECOWAS actually selected journalists from West African countries and got them trained in terms of forming a kind of association, a group to always bring to the front burner anywhere they simply realize that the trafficking is taking place. But you can see Niger, Mali, Burkina Faso, they have pulled out from ECOWAS. And when people are being trafficked, they want to take them to Europe via Libya. They have to pass through these countries. So many of these people have been caught up. They are there as we are talking. And that is taking the looking at the international dimension. Then locally, you could even see that in Port Harcourt, River State, where a student simply killed his own girlfriend and took the heart, and another one took the kidney. What did they do? They were simply trying to give a native doctor in order to make money. So you can see that when some people are trying to have some transplantation of kidneys in order to survive, some people are looking for livers and hearts of human beings in order to make money. So quite a lot of different dimensions to this. And that is also where the National Agency for the Prohibition in Trafficking in Persons will have to come on board in terms of bringing awareness that poverty does not kill, that desperation must not allow you to simply dole out your heart. You see some ladies, they said they can also donate or in fact sell their eggs just to survive in schools. So it's and if you check how much they are being given, just some little pittance for what they are doing. If they will now want to do it, they can do it the way it's done abroad. Legalize it where people can go and donate eggs, not a kind of through the backdoor thing and endangering young people who are desperate to live.
Yeah, there's a lot of info I've gotten from both your submissions. Ben, your angle is that, of course, journalists have a role to play, to constantly be reporting on these issues so that it is not put to bed, because it should not be put to bed. It's a serious matter. And authorities should even further crack down on this, make the punishments even more to make sure that people are not easily, you know, getting into situations where it's so easy for them to donate organs illegally. So it's so many different factors. And Frank, in today's era, not everything is physical, is it? Because organ trafficking networks are increasingly using online platforms, social media, and the dark web to connect buyers and sellers. And that's making it harder for authorities to track and shut down operations. So measures should be taken online too, right?
Yes, quite a lot. But, you know, and that also emphasizes the elitist angle that we are talking about, because if you look at the many examples that Ben has cited, one would think that it only affects the poor and the less privileged. But you also look at the fact that in the particular case of the Nigerian senator who has been convicted in the United Kingdom for getting involved in organ trafficking, it didn't involve people having to cross the harsh environment of the desert. it was perfected with the collaboration, with the seeming collaboration and involvement of consular services, the involvement of using government, you know, paraphernalia to convince the British High Commission to issue visas for persons who were going to illegally donate their organs. So, yes, there is need to, you know, to involve technology. But why don't you acknowledge, or rather, why don't we acknowledge the fact that our governance system has not been that advanced in terms of, you know, devoted services to prevent illegalities, especially when they have to do with the ordinary people? We have not experienced that kind of a dedication from public servants, you know, ensuring that they prevent the happening of a crime. What we often celebrate here is the pockets of discoveries or shocking discoveries of, you know, when things go wrong. Rather, the norm, you know, has to be dealt with. And I believe that there's need for constant monitoring of the internet. Unfortunately, the infrastructure for such kind of monitoring is absent in our governance system here.
Right. And that's why all hands should be on deck to do this. Like the regional bodies, ECOWAS, and all teams, all countries, you know, it's an international crime. It's happening in almost every country, right? So all countries, securities, governments coming together to address this issue could go a long way to nibbing it in the bud. There's so much more that we could dig into, but as journalists, as the media, we'll keep highlighting this issue until the next time we talk. Hopefully we'll be talking about how it has drastically reduced, not the fact that it's continuously rising. Thank you very much, Barrister Frank Tietje, human rights and development lawyer in Nigeria. Also, Ben Shemang, DW correspondent in Nigeria. Thank you very much for your insights.
My pleasure.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
The illegal organ trade in Africa is a significant issue. The World Health Organization estimates the value at more than $1 billion annually. It's a complex and worrying issue that highlights the need for stronger regulations and international cooperation to combat this illicit trade. Egypt, Libya, South Africa, Kenya, and Nigeria are known to be some of the top African countries involved in the illegal trading of human organs. What about human hair used in weaves or wigs? The global human hair trading market is worth more than $4 billion. In countries like India, hair is often collected from temple rituals where devotees shave their heads as an offering. This hair is then sold to companies that process it for wigs and extensions. However, there are reports that some syndicates forcibly cut women's hair to sell them internationally. This human hair often land in Africa, specifically in Cameroon. Buba Jalo has more.
Wigs made from human hair have become more popular in Cameroon in recent years. Stores are fully stocked with wigs in all different colors and styles. Suppliers import the hair mainly from India, Europe and the Middle East. The human hair trade is experiencing a boom in Cameroon. It is now one of the most profitable businesses in the country, according to trader Maria Mokam.
This is a size 6 wig from India. It costs only $38. It can be worn for several years. And this is an Indian wig, size 26. Women prefer this because it lasts 10 years, so it is less expensive.
Ça fait moins de dépenses, comme je disais tantôt.
There is a wig for every style. Yaounde is now considered a human hair supply hub. Melissa, who works in a hair salon, says she comes to Yaounde frequently to purchase this hair to resell in her salon.
I come from Mdanga. I came here because a new load of wigs arrived and the supplier displays them outside. I need wigs for several clients. I always take in large quantities and resell them.
There are several salons now specialized in hair from India. The price depends on the size and quality of the hair. Each wig is washed, disinfected and boiled before being sold. Apolline says the durability of natural hair is why she chooses them.
Sometimes you want to change. You want to be different. It's good. It's about being different from everyone else.
Different de tous les autres.
Some women prefer artificial beauty over natural beauty, and that suits the hair industry just fine.
That was my colleague Buba Jalo digging into the issue of human hair used in weaves and wigs. Overall, I have learned a lot about the illegal business of organ trafficking and how to tackle it. There are still a lot of challenges. Share your thoughts with us on our Facebook page, DW Africa. That's it from this edition of Africa Link. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts from. Click follow so you don't miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Buba Jalo. And I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening.
DW. Made for Minds.